So we're going to pick up and interview a few people again this morning. Gareth, is this... Yeah, you're on the ball. Thanks, mate. And so yesterday we had Colin and Jane from Christ the Light Church in York speaking, sharing about what they're doing there through a group called Stepping Out. We had Dave from Great Yarmouth telling us about what God's doing there through healing on the streets, through the work in the city. And he told us how it's good to cooperate with God. Kept on reminding us about this thing of cooperation. And he's cooperated so much with God, with the council, that God's given them a venue, which was the old co-op. So that was an amazing testimony. And the third person or group we kind of heard from yesterday was Reg and Val, who kind of initiated, who were part of the church here, initiated this cafe, along with Hannah and others. And we kind of heard a bit about that journey. And then fourthly, we heard from Mike and Glynis in a place called Northwich about what God has been doing with them in the area of distributing food to the poor and Youth United, yeah, and what God's doing there. So that was wonderful. So I'm going to invite up Rick and Amy from Aberdeen. Great stuff. And do you need this, Rick? No. Do you want to use
it? No. Don't give me that.
So, yeah, Rick, we've known each other for quite a few years now and got a really good friendship. Our daughter actually stayed up with Hannah, Rick and Amy's daughter, last week for a few nights, yeah. And tell us a bit about what God's doing with you and just some of the recent things that you've been felt stirrings on. We kind of looked at that acronym STEP yesterday in terms of stepping out. And that the first of that was God speaking. What's God been saying to you in terms of stepping out?
I think at the end of last year, the eldership team that I'm privileged to be a part of went away and did some fasting and praying and seeking God. And, you know, over the years, we've been going for about 10 years, and we've tried all sorts of things, eh? We've been involved with everything, usually my fault. Let's do this, let's do that, let's go on outreach in this way and that way and breakdancing. And, you know, we were doing, I'm serious, one of our elders ended up doing breakdancing in one of our outreaches. We've tried everything, and there was a sense of let's get with God's plan in my life personally, and let's build God's way. And that sounds simple. That should have happened years ago, shouldn't it, really? But we went away, and we really heard God, all three of us, slightly differently, but the same story, the same picture, the same vision, the same heartbeat of what God wanted to do with our city and our region. Wonderful. And and I think the big thing, and I feel privileged to be stood up here being interviewed, but I just want to read a scripture here that really spoke to me before we went away, and then we ended up preaching a whole series on the life of Elijah, basically. After Elijah had seen the prophets of Baal defeated and the fire come down from heaven, this miraculous thing that happened. Verse 39 of 1 Kings 18 says, "When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" Yeah. Not, "Hey, Elijah's come to town. What a hero he is." And I was just reminded of, again, very basic, that it's about God. And no matter what we do, and as an eldership team, no matter what it is that has a label or a name, this is about making God famous in areas where he's not so well known.
Wonderful.
So he spoke to us about working into areas of our city doesn't really have a charismatic expression or, as we would say, authentic church, authentic Christianity or expression of authentic Christianity. And at the end of this month, which is next week, one of two sites called Life Plants will be started in the south of the city that meet in a community center midweek with about 22 of us, which will impact that area. But if God doesn't show up, we're sunk. Because simply we're jumping on the back of God's plan for our city. And it's not our plan. In fact, I was quite disgusted when I found out what God had in mind. I needed some convincing because I had ideas of grandeur going far out, 20 miles out or whatever it was, 15 miles out of town. And this is a couple of minutes walk from my house, actually. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Great. Kind of what's your expectation as you go forward with that? And maybe we can hear from your wife and just something of that, or anything you want to add into that, Amy.
Okay. Our expectation is definitely to reach that community. It is it's exciting. It reminds us as when we first planted that we've gone for it. We're not too sure what's going to happen, but there's an air of excitement in the spirit. We know God's doing something big, so we're just following in obedience. And like I say, it's not our plan because our ideas were very different. But yeah, it's exciting. So. I also just want to say I'm apologise for our matching outfits. It was totally unintentional, and I did have to talk Rick out of wearing his knee high leathers as well. So.
Gee, man.
The City of Joy Aberdeen uniform.
Yeah. But I'd just like to add that, you know, it'll take two things for this vision to work. We're not a huge church. We're about 75 adults on a good Sunday. We rarely touch 100 with the kids included. So we're not a huge church, and we're not looking to be multi-site because we're bursting at the seams. It's going to take two things for this to work. First one's God. The second one is these guys that come down from Aberdeen. It's going to take both of those things to happen. It's not going to happen with one of those missing. And it wouldn't work, and it wouldn't come to pass, and wouldn't even be able to be grappled with if it wasn't for the eldership team that we have in Cameron and Valerie and Tarek and Isla, and the people that are involved in this, which aren't round the fringes, but are definitely involved deep within the vision. So it needs everyone to be involved. So I feel privileged to be stood here, but there's actually people in this group that are feeling this a lot more than I am. So,
yeah, it's good. Charles and Kath, would you like to come and just pray with Rick and Amy, mm-hmm. and just pray into these, particularly these life plants? I also happen to know that Rick is trusting to go, or planning to go, or aiming to go full time towards the end of this year, kind of that's September, October, November time.
Yep.
Yeah. Hope I've not
blown
bolted the gate by saying that. But I think it'd be good to pray into that as well, just the release of all the resources, you know, for that. And they also have a building. Just a minor detail in the Union Square, I believe. I've seen the building a number of years ago when Rick was looking at it, and it's an incredible location, wonderful location. And we had you can look out over it from what was it? Is it a Starbucks that you look at? Yeah Starbucks. But they've had quite an interesting ride on this building. And so let's pray into God's resourcing for the building as well. You know, just all the Cameron's fully involved in that. He's kind of on the coalface with that, dealing with the council and contractors and whatever else. So you could pray for him as well. And but let's just trust God for resources, wisdom, and yeah.
Look, Lord, we just thank you for this delightful couple. And we thank you that the gift that they are to us and to the city of Aberdeen. We thank you that there was great joy when they arrived, Lord God, in the heavenlies, that you had appointed them to do good works in that city. We thank you for all their friends who are with them now, and we thank you for their love for them. And we pray, Holy Spirit, even as we pray for Rick and Amy now, there would be just the impartation of your Holy Spirit upon them, that they would be empowered to go out, step out, and to do the good works that you prepared in advance for them to do. Lord, we thank you for the life plants. We thank you that unless a seed falls to the ground and die, it doesn't bear any fruit. And I thank you for Rick's honesty. And I just thank you that in as much as he's yielded, Lord, you will bless him in his work and service and witness in that community. Lord, I thank you that you made it easy for him to get there, Lord, that it's only a couple of minutes away from his home. And I do pray that this would now be a transformational moment in the life of the community, that they would know that they could go to Rick's house for healing. They could go to Rick's house when the marriage is falling apart. They could go to Rick's house if they're hungry. God, I pray that this would be a transformational moment in their family, that they would see ministry coming to them. And God, I pray that you'd give them everything. We know that you do, that you give us everything we need for life and godliness. God, I pray for an abundance that they've never known before. I pray that it would be poured out into their lap, packed down, shaken together, and running over, Lord. I pray that it would overflow into the lives of those that they've yet to meet, that they would be compelled by this amazing, generous God who is just so above our circumstances and situations. And Lord, we thank you for their venue. We thank you for the story that was started many years ago and which is ongoing and which, Lord, you're going to delight and complete and finish. Lord, I pray for wonderful grace and favor with the council. I pray that there would be that the valleys would be lifted and the mountains be leveled, that your glory would come in that building and would flow into the square, would flow into the consumers, that the landlords would say, what on earth is happening in that building? And they would know the glory of God is in that place, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you do provide for us. And I thank you for the bivocational season that Rick has been in. God, I pray that you'd give him every strength and discernment to know when it is to trust you to provide in a different way. I thank you for his work and witness and his work presently. I thank you that his work is not yet finished. And we pray that his season would end well and strong. And I pray that you'd bless his family with all joy as they transition, Lord. And I do pray, Lord God, that there would be a surprise of provision. I pray that inasmuch as they've known your blessing and favor now, they would be surprised by your goodness in a wonderful, joyful, releasing way, Lord. Thank you, Father. I'm going to pass to my wife.
Lord, I just thank you for your word that says, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has worries of its own. And Father, I pray for supernatural provision. Lord, I thank you that as Peter stepped out of the boat, he kept his eyes on you. And Father, I pray for Rick and Amy and the church and the team they have. I pray that their eyes would be so focused on you that they will not sink as they take the step of faith for full time. God, thank you that you are faithful. All we have needed, your hand has provided, and I speak that into their lives. I pray that they would never be in lack, Father, that you would provide for them all the days of their life. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thanks, sir. Wonderful. Thanks, guys. Jim and Pam are from River Church in St. Neots with Rob. It's wonderful to have them here with us. And Jim has been in, Jim, are you you've been in the hotel business or the hospitality business before?
Yeah, I'm a chef by trade.
Right.
And run my own business now.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Well, let you tell a bit of your story. Jim is running with a lot of the community stuff at River Church and reaching out in various ways to mums and parents and young ones and doing stuff in the summer as well, I believe. So, Jim, tell us a bit of your story and hand over to your wife as you need to.
Yeah? Everything gets handed over to my wife. she's my star, my strength. And what we do in the community, it's not about us. It's about him. Whatever we do, we cannot do without having a heart for the community. We cannot do without having a love for those that surround us. And I'm often staggered that that when we start something, we don't know where it's going. It's a step of faith. And when we became grandparents a couple of years ago, And you know, we live in a society where it's harder for young people to go down the route that Pam and I went down, where we fall in love, we romance, we get married, we have children. Nowadays, the majority, a lot of people choose to go down a different route from that. And we've got single parent mums in abundance. We've got young people's relationships that are falling to bits because they've gone down a way that perhaps isn't the best way. And we see lots of heartache as a result. And I thought at the time when we became grandparents, where is this child going to learn of Jesus? Where is our grandson going to learn about the Saviour who can be with him in everything that he will do in his life? And I thought, how? Now, obviously, as grandparents, we would have a role to play. But outside of our family, how does that affect other families? And we realised there's a big gap. And so I started praying, how can we start a work that can change that? Because you have to start in a small beginning. Everything starts small. And so we felt we were going to start this play and stay group in our community. And it's quite surprising that here I am as a grandfather starting a play and stay thing. I mean, how ridiculous is that? You know, I mean, if you've got young children yourself, that's when you start to do a play and stay group, you know. And so we were really sort of going out on a limb with this. But we prayed, we really sought the Lord on it, and we were asking questions. Where are these people? Where are the young children? Where are the mums? Where are the people that we need to get in touch with? And so we decided that it wasn't going to be good enough to advertise this in the churches, because a lot of churches are doing similar things. And we decided to advertise ours outside the church. So we drew up posters and we sent them to doctor's surgeries where mum would go for prenatal visits and so on, and to the libraries and anywhere where people were gathering. We decided to put these posters in. And we thought on the day that we were ready to open, we might get maybe 3 or 4, 5 or 6 at the very most. And at one prayer meeting we were having, we had a season of prayer, and a guy came up to me and he said, I think in the meeting, didn't he? He said, you're going to get an avalanche of people. And that put the fear of God into me, because I thought I'd be much more comfortable with 3 or 4 or 5. And what occurred on the first day that we opened, 25 mums turned up with about 28 kids. So there's 50 people in a room that's not that big. And we thought, oh, well, perhaps it's just beginner's luck. And we'd put a program together. Because of my chef background, we decided to do a cookery demonstration in a preschool group, for goodness sake. how ridiculous is it? But we've got skills that are unique.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's those skills that we need to use, not
that's
somebody
good.
Else's skills, yeah, and not a pattern that somebody else has done.
That's good.
So,
that's good.
And I started off on this week by saying the average family in this country throws away almost £50 of food a month. That's in bananas that have gone off, loaves of bread that have gone mouldy, yogurt that's gone out of date. £50 is thrown out a month. And I just said to these mums, if you half that to £25, you've got a free holiday at the end of the year. So that launched the cooking. So we said, you know, use healthy, good stuff. And it's amazing how that this has taken off in this setting. And then we're quite deceitful with it. We say, well, if you want the recipes, you've got to go on the website. Now, to go on the website, you've got to go through everything else that's going on in the church. So it's another opportunity there to get people to find out how to do it. And then we decided we'd do a craft as well. And I mean, I'm dysfunctional with craft, you know. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But here we are, we're doing shrinkers. This last week, we did little cardboard picture frames, which they could paint and stick hearts and everything on. And then they put baby's photograph on to give to Granny for Mother's Day. And just anything like that, you know, that you can think of. And we've got a whole resource centre in Cambridge that we go and buy this stuff from. If we don't use it, we take it back. So we don't have acres and acres of craft knocking around. But the thing being, the second time after this beginner's luck start, we thought it'll drift off. And on the Thursday, because we do two a week, we had 35 people. different.
Yeah.
Totally, completely different. And within 3 weeks, we had a membership list of around about 70 or 80 families that were coming to this this thing. You know, and I think, so don't advertise it in your church. You know, and we have probably two families from the church that come to that group. So it's totally community. And then as a result, we also do other things like pub friendship lunches. And then, you know, these mums are coming along down the pub with us, you know, and we're saying, first time, lunch is free. You know, so that's, right. Whoa, lunch is free. And then they're talking about where they can get their children dedicated. And then they're asking about other things. And so we haven't had one added to the church yet. It's a bridge-building, slow process that we will see beginning to take fruit over a period of time.
Yeah.
So other things that we do...
not the summer Sundays. Tell them about the Christmas.
Christmas Day lunch.
I don't often... He'll know he'll get a much shorter version if he asks me. Again, it's building on the skills you've got. Jim's a chef, and I'm very good at peeling potatoes under supervision and washing up. So that's our teamwork. And it's about building bridges with people you don't normally meet, and how I'm very much aware that, you know, we've got a wonderful message to tell, and we've got to take that message out. We've got to look at opportunities, but we've got to look at God opportunities to reach our community. So we have the option of using a cafe in town, and we put posters up in the coffee shop. We had a press release in the local papers for people to be able to come and have a free lunch if they were living on their own, if they're going to spend Christmas on their own, or even if they had a real financial issue, we could support them in that. And it's absolutely wonderful. We had about 50 people came. This is the second year we've done this, and there were two or three people that came from last year, so it's lovely to catch up with them. And also... The other thing that really warms your heart is that other people in the community saw that we were doing this, and they would come in and they would donate, a tin of beans or whatever. So by the time people went home, not only they'd had a free Christmas lunch, but they'd also gone home with a great big goodie bag of food as well. And we provided transport for them. But what we did this year, which for me was absolutely special, we actually sang some Christmas carols before we had lunch. And for me, that really put Jesus absolutely in the centre. This wasn't a function that Jim and I may do from a business perspective. It was an absolute function that was God-centred. It was all about Jesus. It was about celebrating his birthday. It was about bringing people together who've never met each other, sitting them around a table. And that, for me, was absolutely beautiful because God was in there, and it was all about serving him and serving other people as a witness for him.
I just want to just mention one thing, and you might say, you know, we're a church of about 140, 150, somewhere around there. You say, well, you must have lots of money to be able to do something like that. The amazing thing is this. We put this press release out, and we just had a sentence that said, donations from the public are welcome. And we literally had people coming down and dropping off loads of food and all sorts of stuff. And I was part of the transport crew, and I picked up a guy who was lying on a mattress on the floor, who was going to have toast for his Christmas lunch. And when I went in, and a bit of mental problems and whatever, but I said, hey, do you want a roast lunch today? Yeah, absolutely. Got up, and dropped him off. And I came, picked him up and dropped him back at home after our Christmas lunch, family Christmas lunch. But the amazing thing was this. Everyone went home with a bag, like a big shopping, one of those bag for life things, full of groceries and gifts. Okay? A handwritten card. One lady said that it was the only card she had got in 30 years or something. And then when I dropped her off, I gave her a hug. She said, oh, that's the first hug I've had for like 3 years, you know. And but my point is this. It cost River Church £42 to feed 42 people. And the play and stay group, the initial cost us something, but it's now paying for itself. We don't charge. It's just donations only. And it's paying for itself. And I think if it's God's will, it's God's will. You know, bottom line.
Yeah. I'm going to ask Dave and Alan if they'd like to come and just pray for Jim and Pam. And as they come, let's just pick up on some of those things on the thing of connections as well. Because as you start to take steps out as God leads you, and as different people in the life of the church start to do that, you start to crisscross across the community. And there's actually kind of a lot of cross-pollination that can happen there. Just give you a very quick example. The tennis club scenario that I mentioned yesterday, one of the ladies who's a member of the tennis club there is also a principal at our local primary school. And so there's connections that take place. People where we've got favor, where we have favor into a school or favor into an arena that God opens up as we take steps into another arena. And so, just to take those steps as he leads, and you'll be amazed where those things start to connect and things start to happen. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. You like to pray, Dave? Okay. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. The opening statement of when Jim spoke was, this is all about you.
Yes, Lord. Okay.
And Lord, everything that we do is all about you. And Lord, we know that you love people. You care for people. You want to meet people. And Lord, you put that heart into these guys to you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I see all that passion in them and the compassion they have for people. And Lord, I pray that you'll even increase that. Increase it in their hearts. Increase it in the team. And Lord, I pray that as they spend time with these mums and kids and what have you, Lord, that people will see Jesus in them.
Yes.
Lord, this won't just be something that mums will come to and have a good time and go away and say, oh, they're good people down there. But we want them to see Jesus. We want them to meet Jesus.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray, Lord, as I've said already, there's no one that's come to church yet. But Lord, it's not even about coming to church, it's about coming to you.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray, Lord, that through this ministry, Lord, you will anoint it and you will use it. Obviously, it seems such a God-given strategy so clearly. And Lord, I pray that from this, great fruit will come. And Lord, many lives will be touched and changed. Lord, people will be saved. The brokenhearted will be mended. And Lord, needs will be met in people's hearts and lives. And Lord, just let the love of Jesus flow through these guys and into that group. And Lord, we just know too that as they get to know some of these mums and people, they're going to come out and they're going to share their problems and needs, and other things are going to come out of that. And they're going to need to know how to handle some of the situations that they're faced with as people talk to them. And I pray, Lord, give them wisdom. Lord, on how to handle those situations. Lord, give them contacts with perhaps other agencies and things like that where they can get help and support, Lord, where they're not able to do it themselves. But Lord, just thank you for this clearly God-given strategy. And let your hand be mightily upon them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I just feel that this is the beginning of a building block. Okay, God's doing a building. And it's just the cornerstone. The cornerstone's him. But you just have to go with him. And you're to be the sweet fragrance of Jesus wherever you are. And you just don't have to do anything about that. You just have to be in him. Let him do it. Because when he's doing it, it will work. And it's going to work because I see God's real blessing and anointing upon you guys. And I'm excited. Just run with it because it's going to be an exciting journey. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Yeah.
Excellent.
Thanks, Alan.
It is definitely about the brokenhearted.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thanks, guys. Jeff and Debbie. from Dundee. Let's give them a hand. Sure.
You need to guess which one's which.
All right, I'll try and keep this man under control.
I was just thinking about yesterday when you said about eclectic, it's an eclectic group, and I leaned over to Debbie and said, is that another religious group?
All right, Jeff. So Jeff is reaching into the wacko subculture. Jeff, tell us a bit about some of the community stuff that you've done over the years. Those of us who know you and know where God has placed you kind of know that it's a kind of a square peg into a square hole. There's an incredible fit there in terms of your character and that some of the challenges that you face in that community. Tell us a bit, though, about some of the stuff you've done with the football, with the youth, and just with the council.
Well, we started off with the football, kind of with the young guys, when Joe and Paul, my sons over the back there, were about, how old were they, about 15? Yeah. Maybe 10 when we started. Yeah. Round about 10 to 15. And what it was, you know, in the Whitfield area where we are, like, you know, there was lots of gangs going about, and guys were getting kind of randomly beaten up. The kind of sport was like, you know, to beat up people just passing and stuff like that, you know. And then used to be have the at the end of the street, there used to be lots of, you know, gangs collecting and all that kind of stuff at the end of the street, and they would all get drunk and everything like that, you know. So this was just at the end of our home. So I didn't want to get the guys to be part of that or get involved in that. So we decided that we would do something. Well, I would do something. So I just went out with a few guys, and we got football, and we set up football nets and stuff like that and started off the football. And we were getting about 100 guys on a Friday night coming and playing football with us, you know, and within that. So that kind of grew into that. We started a youth club and things like that, you know.
And
well, we actually had Dundee United come, and some of the guys actually come and do some sports with us, because we had a sports camp. And but they did. Yeah, we ran a sports event, and they come and they did some coaching sessions and stuff like that. So that was good. And so we began to do stuff like that, and we had a gang. I'm going to embarrass the guys. What was the name of the gang we started up, or the group we started up? You hated the name. They absolutely hate the name. It's called Flick. They hate it. But we trial and error. And what we used to do is actually we had the football outside, and we had the park, but also we had a gym, and we used to run kind of a community event. We were playing table tennis and football and that. But unfortunately, we lost that, and the people who ran that owned the building, sold up and left, and we became homeless. Like, you know, and so what we started. So over the years, we've tried various things to try to do some things in the community, and within that, gala days and things like you guys have been with us, and we've done gala days, and we had kind of prayer tents and all this kind of stuff going on, and that, you know, it's been really good, like, within that. But just probably recently, like, you know, that. Well, you were there actually. The gangs during the time when we were doing all the football, the kind of gang kind of activity and that kind of, there was a lull in that, and there wasn't so much trouble and stuff like that. But just recently, it started up again, you know. And there were gangs going about, you know, kind of beating up people and stuff like that. When you were there that night, they were after him. Well, what they're doing, the council now have actually approached us to run the youth work, like, you know, so in the community. So we're negotiating now in the primary school. They've given us the full access to the primary school in the evening, and so it'll be whatever we need, like, you know, within that. There's football, there's all the gym, everything that we need, like, you know, and funding. Well, we're hoping to do in the next few weeks to get going. Unfortunately, the lady who was involved with us, I mean, pray for her, she went off sick, like, you know, who was working closely with us. But she's back now, so we're trying to get the started, that now. So Friday nights, we're going to do the start getting the guys back off the streets again and start playing football and all that kind of stuff.
Do you want to hand the mic to you, to Debbie? I mean, Jeff does a lot of work into the prisons as well. That's, you see people saved, seen that group growing. Is it Perth Prison?
No, Castle Huntley.
Castle Huntley Prison. And, doing great work there. Debbie, give us a bit of kind of the prophetic, you're very prophetic, kind of what you see, what God's saying with you, and maybe it's just something that we can pray into. What you're sensing God's doing through you as the community.
Okay, I think that we became very discouraged for a while after the building was closed down, and we lost so much, you know, facilities that we used. We had ladies groups where we did pottery and watercolour, and we had women coming from all different, you know, parts of the scheme where we live, and we had 100 kids on a Friday night. We had things going on during the week, you know, and it was an amazing time, and we got such a response from people, and then we lost it all, and we really did become a little bit discouraged, because as Jeff says, we became homeless, and even now we are renting accommodation from Church of Scotland, which is great in one sense that we have some place to go, but every time we do an outreach or an open day, the people go to their church because they have the building and they don't come to ours, and it can be a little bit frustrating, but we just think that now things have turned. Things have really turned. We have the council approaching us to come and do work with the youth in the area. We've had them come and say to us that they're building a new community building and they would like to give us a place within that to have our church. And we're keen on it not looking like a church building, because people in Whitfield are very suspicious. They really are very suspicious. And, you know, if you smile at them in the street, they actually think, you know, you want something from them. Or they owe you something.
Oh, they're checking their pockets.
And so they really are very suspicious. So they don't like going into church buildings. They'd rather go into a community centre or, you know, a modern building like this that looks nothing like a church. And so this is quite exciting. We just have to agree on a rent, because they want to charge us more than we want to pay. So I think a pound is a brilliant price. So I keep prophesying that we are going to get this new build for a pound, and believing that if God wants us there, then that's what we'll pay.
So, wonderful. That's great. Tony and Joy, why don't you come up? Tony and Joy are an eldership couple with Nigel and Melita and other two couples in Liverpool. It's great to have them with us for this time.
I've got 40p. Anyone want to help me pay the first time? Seriously, I believe this is prophetic. Let's do it, yeah?
I put it all in the thing for the coffee.
Okay, Hudson Taylor said, where God guides, he provides. So, Tony, let's over to you. There you go,
John. Lord, I thank you for this couple. Thank you for the blessing they are to us, and they are to the place where you have placed them, Lord. I thank you for the gifts you've placed in them. I thank you just for the natural gifts, the way they are, the way they relate to people, the way they draw people in. Thank you for the sense of humour. Lord, it's a gift beyond gifts in the situation that they work. Lord, I just thank you for the favour that you're going to place upon them. Lord, and we just lift this whole venture up to you with the, we ask for favour with the council. Lord, and we do pray in faith that this pound will be enough, that will pay for what they need, Lord. Lord, and that you will bless them abundantly, and that pound will just replicate and replicate, and pounds will come flooding into that church, Lord. And I thank you for the ministry with the young people, for the gangs, Lord. Lord, they're bringing a light where there is darkness, Lord. And we just pray that light burns brightly in that city, Lord, and that area. Lord, and I just really do believe that then gangs will just break up, and it will become almost a gang for Jesus. It won't be a gang to go around beating people up. It will be a gang to go around lifting people up. Lord, and thank you for the gifts you placed in them, Lord, and we just ask that you pour favour on them. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Father, I thank you for the tireless work that they're doing, Lord God, that they are not giving up, that although they've had a time of discouragement, they are lifting their heads and they are starting again, Lord God. But we pray for whatever work they do now, that it's going to be a permanent work in that city, Lord God, that the enemy is not going to come and creep back and take ground, Lord God, that the ground they take will be permanently taken for Jesus, Lord God. And we just pray your favour. Thank you that the council have approached them. They are not going asking for anything, Lord God. They are being asked to work into the community. And, Lord, we do pray that you just pour out your goodness, your love, and your Holy Spirit fire in that place, Lord God. Transform lives and generations, Lord God, to come. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, guys. That was brilliant. I just felt when Joy was praying that, Jeff, Debbie, just that scripture out of Nehemiah, stand your ground on the walls. Intimidation comes. The phrase that I felt was that you're involved in a great work and you're not going to come down from the walls. Stand your ground. You're involved in a great work. Just felt a real affirmation when Joy prayed that. Yeah, you've pushed through. You've had some setbacks, but permanence is coming. Give permanence to the work of our hands. It's coming. Great. Levere, come and... Levere's a good friend of ours. We've known him for about 5 years now, 4.5 years. And how time flies when you're enjoying yourself. And, just ask Levere just to come and tell us a bit of his story, really. Maybe Levere, just in terms of how long you've been in Scotland. He's got a really good Scottish accent. And I'll steal his pun there. And maybe the range of kind of where you work into or have worked into as a kind of an initial start, and then maybe just something of what God is saying to you now, and some of the recent things you've seen in terms of your ministry. I know. Okay, is that all right? Yeah.
I've been in Scotland for almost 29 years now, and this is the best Scottish accent I can come up with. When the people in the store asked me, you know, where's that accent from? And I said, where do you think it's from? They said, well, it sounds American. And I said, well, I've been working on an American accent. How am I doing? We came here by the direction of the Holy Spirit, by God, in a vision. Told us he'd give us a castle. I won't tell the story now, don't have time. But it happened. We saw it, we came, we found it. A guy gave us a 500-year-old Scottish castle. We ministered out of it for 20 years, did all sorts of things. And then God launched us on into a traveling healing ministry. And because this is about evangelism, this time of getting together, targeting on that, I want to talk just for a few minutes about how the supernatural can affect evangelism. And I think of what Jesus said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me. That's all that humanitarian and good things that we reach into communities as well. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty to those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Really, what that's saying is what we have a modern term, what we call felt needs, or needs in a community. And we can talk about meeting the needs of gangs that we just heard about. We can talk about needing the needs of poor people, the needs of mothers, single mothers, and the mothers that have children, all sorts of needs. I found out that whenever you can find a need and meet that need, you can reach people and touch people. And one of the greatest needs is the need for the supernatural and for healing. In America, the biggest business in America is the healthcare system. It's the hospitals, the doctors, the drugs, the whole thing. It is America's biggest business. It's a pretty big business over here. regardless of what you think of the NHS. You know, it's a real need. And I found that if you can meet a need in somebody's life, you can get their attention and you can help them. And usually people who are sick and in pain, it's really easy to get in touch with them and to begin speaking to them about what their need is. So I'm going to share just a couple of stories, some good ones and some bad ones, about how they turned out. I've been doing this for years now. I mean, I started this when I had hair. Some people do this lovely hairstyle because of choice. I do it because of need. I don't have much choice in it. But way back, I mean, back in the 70s, I began seeing the power of God moving. I've seen hundreds and literally thousands of miracles. And as I talk about this, I want to be very careful to give all the glory to God, because it's not about me. And when you hear what I'm going to share, you'll think, well, you know, I'm not sharing out of pride. I'm bragging on what God can do. And if he can do it through me, he can do it through anybody. And before there was a Healing on the Streets ministry name type thing, I was doing healing on the streets. Didn't have a name. But how we do it, we'd just get somebody that could sing. I don't know why they wouldn't let me sing. But they'd get somebody that with a, you know, like a busker type thing, you know. Get somebody that could sing real good, play guitar, or even a box. And we'd have the team standing out like they were listening, about 5-10 people or so. And when a few people gather around to listen to him sing, I'd grab the mic. And he had to be really quick on the streets. And I'm talking about in the marketplace, again, not in the church. And the first time I did this was in Hungary. And I grabbed the mic and said, "We've come to tell you about Jesus. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he'll never change. And Jesus said he would never leave us. So that means if he hasn't left us, he's here. And if he hasn't changed, he'll do what he always did. He healed the sick. Who wants to be first?" That was the message. I preach a lot shorter on the streets than I do in church. And so I said, "Is there anybody here sick? Anybody in pain?" And this little old lady raised her hand. And I said, "What's your name?" And I had to do this all through a translator. And she gives me her name. And I said, "What's wrong with you?" And she had a pain in her back for 10 years or something like that. I said, "How would you like to get rid of that pain?" Dumb question, you know. Who likes pain? And so she said, "Yeah." I said, "Would you like Jesus to take it away?" I said, "Jesus can take this away." She said, "Yes." And I said, "Would you like me to pray for you?" She thought, I'm, you know, back at the church and, you know, light a candle and pray for her, something like that. And she didn't know I was going to ask her if I could pray for her right there on the street. And she said, "Yes." I said, "Come here." And now people are listening to this and they're stopping. This is a strange conversation for on the street. And so I said, "Now I'm going to pray for you in the name of Jesus, and the Lord is going to touch you and heal you." I prayed for her, and God healed her, and it was just amazing. She gave her testimony. And then I said, "Is there anybody else?" Two more ladies came up. They got healed, same way. Then there was a line. In an hour's time, about 300 people, the police had to get involved because they were blocking the road. We're standing around watching the miracles. There was around 80 people in a two-hour time period. They were instantly healed. And we got into kind of a flow of this. I'd get them healed, and I'd put them over to the pastor, and he'd give them information, get information from him. And then we kept announcing, there's more than Jesus can do for you than just simply heal your body. But we want to tell you all that Jesus can help you with, and tell where there's going to be a meeting that night. And that night, out of the 80 people that were healed, 40 of them turned up to the meeting. Came to the church house. And I can tell you another quick story. I did a meeting I saw in this one little village in Ukraine. Every time I went there, I noticed that God was doing some really unusual miracles. And I felt, this is a small community, only 3,000 people. And I thought, we can touch the city. It's small enough, we can get a hold of this and really do something here. Prayed into it, put up a tent, and the people had been being healed for 3 or 4 years, took their testimony, put it through every door of the village, and we had a healing crusade. And, you know, it wasn't huge, but 1% of the city got born again. You know, think of what would happen in your city if 1% of the city got born again, you know? And every night, we did it 4 nights, and every night we prayed for the sick, and it's kind of a one-on-one deal. It's a long process. And eventually, later on, the pastor reported back, because they knew all the people there, because everybody knew each other. And they said, except for 4 or 5 people, everybody that got prayed for was healed. And the people of the city didn't want the tent taken down. There was a presence there. It wasn't me. Long after I was gone, they wanted to come and be in the tent and feel the presence of God. And God is doing something. Now, I could share a lot of stories like that, but I can also share stories where I prayed for people and nothing happened. And the first time that I ever prayed for a blind person that was healed, we saw it was really great that happened. And I always desired to pray for somebody on the street that was blind, but I was always afraid to. And then one day in Ireland, this blind guy tapped right up to my parked bus. I said, okay, it's now or never, you know? And so I asked him if I could pray. He said that I could. I prayed. I prayed my best prayer, and nothing happened. And that's just what I was afraid was going to happen. And then when it was all over with, the Lord dealt with me, and he said, you know, you're making this all about yourself. You're afraid of what people will think about you. He said, you don't get over yourself. He said, it's not about you. You can't heal anybody. You just do what I tell you to do, which is, the Bible says, lay hands on the sick. You do that. You do what you can do, and I'll do what I can do. You pray for them, I'll heal them. And if somebody gets healed, who gets the glory? God does. What happens if nobody gets healed? Who gets the shame? I always took the shame. Always. It's like, oh, you know, I didn't pray. I wasn't anointed enough. I didn't, you know. And God said, no. You don't get the glory. You don't get the shame. He said, you just do the things you're supposed to do. I'll do the things I'm supposed to do. You know, when we witness to people, you know, what would we do if everybody we witnessed to didn't get saved right on the spot? Soon we'd stop witnessing to anybody, sharing the Lord. We share the gospel, we share the truth, but we can't save anybody. But when we share, people can get saved. We may be sow, we may be plow, we may be water, we may be harvest, but eventually people come to the Lord. And the same way with healing. And I've also noticed that night in where that the 1% of the people got saved, we'd already given an altar call earlier, and five, six, seven, eight people came up to get saved. Then after the miracle started happening that last night, some more people said, we want this Jesus that heals. And I don't know, I could say a number of meetings where I've been where people, we didn't even give a chance to give an altar call for salvation, but the Holy Spirit led in people being healed first, and sinners would come up and said, we want this Jesus. It can touch and change lives, and it's the easiest thing in the world. You know, there's about 1 billion Christians at least in the world today, born again Christians. You know, it's like the world's biggest crusade has never been 1 billion people, but if every born again Christian, even once a week, would share or pray, I mean, it's amazing what can happen. Mm-hmm. And God's got some amazing things planned in the end time. Mm-hmm. Some amazing things. And all you have to do is let God be God, and you know that it has nothing to do with you, but you're just willing to do what he says. Mm-hmm. and be willing to be embarrassed. But for years I wouldn't pray because I was embarrassed of what wouldn't happen. But I've learned sometimes something does happen. Oh. And it's worth it. What if something does happen? When you witness to somebody, what if somebody does get saved? When you pray for somebody to be healed, what if they do? I prayed for a lot of people that haven't got healed. But I'm not going to stop because I've seen a lot of people that have got healed. Hallelujah.